Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. You can now join us for live streaming on YouTube, Vimeo, or Facebook. Our worship services start at 10:45 on Sundays. This week, Pastor Jordan brings us a sermon titled The Joy of the Lord from John 2, 1 through 12. Are you tired yet? Are you empty yet? 2020 has been a unique year where we all experience loss in some kind of way. So are you tired yet? Are you just done with it? 2020 is a year where many of us have maybe felt a loss in terms of finances, a job, family and friends. Maybe you've had arguments with family and friends about politics or the way we deal with COVID, and that has driven a wedge between you. Maybe you've experienced a loss of a little bit of sanity. Maybe you've experienced loss of a routine that you had that helped keep you center in some way. This year, we have all lost in some way. Some of us literally have lost loved ones this year. Whether it's due to COVID or other things, some of us have lost loved ones this year. And there's so many other things that we have lost that we don't even realize. I think one of the biggest things is those routines or maybe social stuff, and we all feel that in some way. We all feel the weight of everything going on in the world in 2020. Some of these memes or cartoons from the internet kind of show us exactly what it means or what it feels like 2020 is. We'd rather just skip 2020 at this point and go to next year. We'd rather just take that option than try to go one more month because we don't know what's going to come next, because we never could have anticipated what was coming on January 1st, 2020. So are you tired? Do you feel empty? Do you feel like you have nothing left to offer? It's funny, sometimes throughout history, when there has been a disaster of some sort or a big event or people have died, church tends to see an uptick of people attending. Now, on one side, we could view this as people are viewing their mortality and understanding that we are all fragile in some way, that life ends for us at unexpected times, and so therefore they want to get right with our Creator. But I think in some way, what I tend to see is that when we are at a loss, when we're empty, when we have nothing left, we go to God because we think God's going to fix it all for us, that God is going to change things and make it back the way it was. And sometimes that's not even an option. But we want God to do something about it. Because in the good times, we often feel like God isn't near because we don't need God near, because we feel like everything's good. I don't need God right now. I'm doing fine on my own. And then when everything falls apart, we run towards God and say, "Why did you forsake me?" So sometimes we think that God comes to us in hard times and God kind of sits back in the good times. So when have you done this? I know I have done this plenty of times where things are good. I don't feel close to God because things are good. But in the hard times, then I lean closer into God because I don't feel like I have anything left. And what I'm saying here, I'm not saying this is wrong or this is right. This is just one of the things we do. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to lean into God. We need to run to God because we have nothing left. And sometimes it's not bad that we don't often think of God in the good times, but it makes our life a little bit unbalanced, at least our spiritual life, at least our whole life, right? Our spiritual life should be our life. That everything then gets out of balance. Because we only go to God in the times we need God, and then forget about God in the times that we don't necessarily need God's guidance. So what I want to talk about today is why think about God in the good times. Why should we think or look for God in the times that we feel like everything's going our way, we have our family and friends, we're going on vacation, we're celebrating joys within our families, everything's good. Why should we look for God in those times? And one story stuck out to me. One story from John chapter 12. And this is the story of Jesus at the wedding in Cana. This is the first miracle that Jesus performs in his ministry.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They don't have any wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby were 6 stone water jars used for the Jewish cleansing ritual, each able to hold about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some from them and take it to the head waiter," and they did. The head waiter tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the groom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first. They bring out the second-rate wine only when the guests are drinking freely. You kept the good wine until now." This was the first miraculous sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, Jesus and his mother, his brothers, and his disciples went down to Capernaum and stayed there for a few days.
So this is Jesus' first miracle. We don't tend to dive into this that much. I think because, at least from an exegetical perspective, it is kind of hard to understand the meaning and interpret all the things that Jesus is doing, because there's social stuff going on, there is spiritual stuff going on, there's family stuff going on between Jesus and Mary. There's all kinds of nuance to this story. So we tend to just avoid it and say, this is the miracle where Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God and his ministry. But one of the cool things, the things I want to keep in mind about this story is in the details. It's in the details of what Jesus is doing and how Jesus is treating others. So Jesus shows his glory as he honors ordinary people, the bride and groom, the servants, everybody that's in attendance. So the bride and groom first, Jesus honors by giving them wine because they're running out. And at this time, people would be upset. The family had to provide good wine to provide for the whole celebration. And if you ran out, that was a social no-no. People would be upset, and the bride and groom would hear about it for years to come because they ran out of wine on their wedding day. Even in Jesus' time, people expected an open bar for those attending. And Jesus then provided that for them and exceeded expectations. See, Jesus also honors the otherwise ignored and oftentimes abused, verbally abused servants by making them witnesses to the miracle, that their witness and their word matters. That them going out and telling people what they saw and happened, they now have credibility where they didn't before. Jesus is giving honor to the servants also because they matter. And Jesus even honors creation because he's using earthy things for this miracle. He's using the stone jars that are filled with water and turning it into wine. So everything that we can find here and now, Jesus is using. He's not taking stuff from heaven or some other worldly realm, but he is using what we have Jesus is honoring the creation. Jesus is showing honor and glory through the ordinary, even himself. That God became flesh, that flesh is human, that God became human, and that human part is being honored in some way. Showing us that all around us, everything in creation, all the ways that we have set things up, that God wants to make everything whole. Sometimes Christianity gets into this mindset that this world is done, this world is evil, it is fallen, there is no hope for it, that we need to escape to heaven and that God will take us there one day. Jesus will return and take us there so we don't have to endure the evil of this world anymore. But what Jesus is doing, even in this miracle, is showing us that the creation that God made still is good. That in Genesis, God created and said it was good. That we are still good, but we have to be made whole. That most of our problems right now are becoming because we are not whole. That we are trying to become whole in different ways that are not the right ways. But through Christ, through loving our neighbors, through loving God, that's how we really become whole. And Jesus is showing that. Jesus is loving his neighbors. He is loving the families that are getting married by providing the wine to celebrate, to bring joy. Shows us that the character of Christ is that Jesus is this earthy and humble and generous God. And part of that is, if you think of the wine, they said in Scripture that there was 6 stone jars holding 20 to 30 gallons each, which I'm not great at math, but I did it on a calculator, equals about 120 gallons of wine. Which, in today's world, if we think of bottles, is 605 bottles of wine. For this wedding celebration. So Jesus exceeds expectations in quantity. And then Jesus exceeds expectations in quality, too. Because it is good wine that they are serving now. Jesus created the good wine. Because, see, what you did was, towards the end of the celebration, after enough people have drank enough and can't really notice how the wine tastes anymore, they do that because then they bring out the old wine, the wine that isn't as good because people don't care as much. But Jesus brought out the good quality wine too. So Jesus exceeds in quantity and quality with the wine at the wedding. So God in the flesh within Jesus is ready to care for others. He gives them gifts. He affirms the human, the ordinary and the mundane. And he says, this is how we honor it. This is where my glory comes from. That these are used even for my glory. This is the glory for you and me, according to Jesus. That even in the ordinary, God says it is good. So another piece of this story that I think about is this. When we no longer have anything left, especially in 2020, when we feel depleted of everything, Jesus gives to us generously. So what does that mean? What does this all mean? Even we cannot keep going. Even when we cannot keep going, when we feel like giving up, Jesus still lifts us up, celebrates us. He doesn't ridicule or shame us for not having enough faith or feeling depleted, but Jesus begins where we end. When we don't have enough, when we end, Jesus begins. This is why we all flock to God in the bad times. We don't have anything left. We pass it off to Jesus, because when we end, Jesus begins. And we also know that in those times when we feel empty, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That when we feel so downtrodden and cynical of everything going on, we want some joy in our lives. We want to be reminded that we were created and we were called good, and that there is a God that loves us no matter what we do, that God cannot possibly love us any more or any less. So one of the things is this weekend is Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend started on Tuesday, September 5th in 1882 in New York City. And it was to celebrate the contributions of families and workers to our society. Then, following the deaths of 13 workers during the Pullman strike in June of 1894, President Grover Cleveland made it a national holiday. This all happened so that we could pay attention to the way we treat workers, how we care for one another, rest being a primary issue with that we have a day off we wouldn't normally have, that rest is important because sometimes we can work so hard that we empty ourselves and we have nothing left. The only way we can give more is to rest. That's what we're doing this weekend. So since this weekend is Labor Day weekend, how are you celebrating your accomplishments? How are you celebrating achievements? How are you resting? How are you going to take a breath? How are you going to see God working in your ordinary? How are you going to let God bring wholeness to your emptiness? How can God celebrate you this weekend? That is the joy of the Lord, to celebrate us, to celebrate creation because it is good. Quit looking at what we have lost or not have, or the ways that our world is not back to normal. But also, I understand if we cannot move past that, sometimes we need to grieve and we need to go through a process of grieving in order to get to that place where we don't look back. But this weekend, try to not look back, especially for 2020, in the ways that COVID has stolen our normalcy from us. Don't look back at that, but instead look ahead. Instead look to Jesus. Put the things that we do know of and we are certain of in Jesus' hands. The little that we may have, put it in Jesus' hands. At the very least, we have some life, health, happiness, family, friends, and maybe even some sanity. But if we bring it to Christ, the Lord can do something miraculous with it. Just as Jesus exceeded expectations at the wedding, in both quantity and quality of wine, Jesus too can exceed our expectations. So as we recenter ourselves on God, as we recenter ourselves on the things that God is doing in our ordinary lives, the ways that God is present in our ordinary lives and saying, "This is good. You can make this whole again." That this is how we honor each other and we honor creation. As we center ourselves on that today, may we go to the table. And may we go to the table to celebrate the kingdom of God in our midst, even with earthy and material things.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.